Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and don't forget all the other things that you can do on my website. Our blog and the archives, articles, and the Brain Trust members, lots of things there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. Paul Cherry is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. Paul is the president and CEO of Performance-Based Results, an international sales and leadership training organization. He teaches thousands of professionals and professional wannabes how to become professionals, especially in selling. He's the author of the new book, Questions That Sell, and he's our new friend. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim, very much. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Paul, here's something that I I'd like to get your thoughts on this, and because I definitely want to focus on questions itself, because I think you've got a lot of things to tell us here. But one of the things I want to ask your opinion of, I've seen your picture, and I suspect that you've been around a couple of years too in the marketplace as I have.
Mm-hmm,
and
yes,
certainly
indeed.
you were selling successfully and helping people sell successfully in the 20th century, as I was. One of the things I tell my audience and anybody that'll listen, who will listen, I tell them what Dorothy said to her dog in that great movie, The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto." And that's what I tell them. And I'm referring to the fact that we're not in the 20th century anymore. We're in the 21st century. And, Paul, I think things here are different. What do you think?
I think there is a lot of truth to that, and yet, at the same time, I want to challenge that. We all talk about globalization. We all talk about how fast-paced society is, commoditization. But at the same time, relationships have not become extinct.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, even with the power of the Internet and how people buy over the Internet, I find that today it's even more critical to be able to develop and manage and leverage those relationships. Because there's been a lot of research that has come out lately by top universities such as Harvard, Caltech, Baylor, Emory, and more, which is talking about people really are motivated by their emotions. And I'm talking about buyers. And that's the whole reason why I put this book together, because it's be able to reach out to customers at an emotional level and to motivate them. So
And Paul, that's the thing that I agree with you, what you just said. I keep coming back to something that I learned 25 years ago when I read Nesbitt's Megatrends. He said, with all the high tech that we're going to have, we're always going to want high touch.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about.
That's what it's all about. Especially if like most business people, where they're selling a product or a service that isn't a one-call close, or where you have to go back again and again, we're really talking about how do you really create these kind of relationships, and the book is all about asking the right questions and enable to develop those relationships.
Well, I guess the thing that I keep thinking about, Paul, is I agree that the right questions and building the relationships are – those things haven't changed. I still think those are valid, and they were valid 25, 30, 40 years ago.
Yes.
The difference that I think where there may be a difference, though, is when I was a young salesperson, customers expected me to come to see them. They expected me to drop by on them. I usually tried to have an appointment, but there were salespeople coming and going all the time inside of businesses. That's not happening that much anymore.
True.
And so it seems to me that what's the biggest difference about today than, say, 10, 20 years ago is how you begin that relationship, how you start that relationship, how you get access to the decision maker. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, there is the concepts of dropping by or the door-to-door selling. I mean, for the most part, it is irrelevant, especially in a business-to-business environment. So you're right. In terms of being able to develop these relationships, there's a different way about going about it, and that is through the phone, through the email, even through direct letters. But we're it's to develop the quality of relationships, there has to be at some point a face-to-face engagement.
How do you – all right, in your book, Questions to Sell, what questions do we need to ask to make sure that we can get all the way through to the decision maker, get their attention enough so that they will give us some time so that we can build that important relationship that you talked about earlier?
Well, the 1,200 programs that I've done to date with salespeople, I find that 9 out of 10 questions fall into what I call product-oriented questions.
Right.
In terms about what do you like about the current product, what would you like to change, who you're currently using now, what do you like about your current vendor. They're legitimate questions and questions that need to be asked, but the point is that they become a little self-serving. So to answer your question, we got to get more involved with customer-focused questions, the bigger picture questions, the strategic questions, or what I call dialogue probing questions. And these are things
that really cover about getting more into
the future.
Oh, hold on a second. Say that again. Dialogue what?
Dialogue probing questions.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
And the way it's two things. It's what you're looking for, and it's how you ask it. But I give a framework of areas to explore, and these are going into uncovering problems, and what are the causes of the problems. What's the duration of these problems, and how is it impacting the organization, the profit, the time to market? What's the payoff? What's the vision, the decision-making process, the decision-making criteria, you know, in terms of how it's impacting the customer's customer?
Paul, hold a second. What you just said to me is the most important thing that salespeople need to learn today, and that is if you focus – There was a time when many decades ago when you could focus on your product. Then you had to focus on your customer, and that's been more recent.
Yes.
Today, Paul, and this is where I want to pick up when we come back, I think that what you just said is the most important thing, and that is that you need to focus, folks, on your customer's customer in your presentation, in your relationship building. Talk to them about their customers. Don't just talk to your customer. Talk to them about their customer. Let Paul Cherry speak to that when we come back after these messages. His book is called Questions That Sell. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend Paul Cherry. We're talking about his book and some of the wisdom that he has provided for salespeople, those who are already doing it and those who want to one day. Questions to Sell. Paul, tell us where the book's available, please. Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, Jim.
There you go. Tell us where your book's available.
Oh, it's available on Amazon.com and all the major bookstores, as well as the American Management Association.
Would you like to give us your website, too, please?
And that is P as in performance, B as in based, results, pbresults.com.
pbresults.com, all right.
Yeah, it stands for performance-based results. That's
right.
Our company.
When we went to the break, before we went to the break, you said customer's customer. And I just think that of all the things that we could talk about today, helping our audience, helping your readers to understand that we went from us to the customer to our customer's customer. That's the evolution of the relationship with customers over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years. Today, if you're talking about your products, you're dead in the water. If you're talking about your customers, what they need, you got a decent chance. But if you can get beyond them, to get them to talk about what it takes to serve their customers, I think that's the 21st century holy grail right now, Paul. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we find, though, that when we talk about the customer's customer, it's always important that when you're engaging this decision maker, you're going as high as possible, because they're going to be much more focused on that customer's customer. And we're talking about external customers here. And we find, and this is something that was quoted by Jim Pensero in terms of why people buy, why customers buy. And it's all about how you can help them minimize their risk, how you can help them enhance their competitive standing, how you can help eliminate their costs or increase their profits, and or how can you make their life easier. And that's why I love to focus on the customer's customer. Because that's what drives their business.
Well, the thing you're trying to do, Paul, is you're trying to help them find the answer to something that they don't have yet. They don't have all the answers yet. Here's my point.
Yes.
They don't need you to tell them about your product. They already know. There's not too many things that you can sell them that they don't already know all about. It's not like it was when people, you know, the first time somebody ever heard of a cell phone. It's not like that anymore. So, mm-hmm. and also, they've gotten pretty darn good. Most people have gotten pretty darn good at understanding how to manage their own business model. The thing that wakes them up at night, I think, that wakes our customers up at night, is how can I leverage, what can I leverage, who can I help, who can help me leverage whatever they have, whatever resources they have, to be a partner with me, to be a vendor partner with me, so that I can do a better job with my customers. I think that's what wakes people up at night.
I think you're right. Customers, for the most part, are insecure, and for valid reasons. I mean, there's just so much change in the marketplace. A good salesperson that can really help leverage that relationship, provide direction and guidance, is really important.
How do we ask the right questions to build that kind of relationship?
And we ask those kind of questions that are going to be more thought-provoking. I think that part of this process is because we deal with customers that are more savvy, more educated, more knowledgeable, still customers are challenged because they're barraged with too many choices. And that can cause indecision. The whole point of asking good questions is to help provide clarity, to help them with the thought process, to help the customers think and make the right decisions.
Well,
Obviously, we're providing them that guidance down that road with the solution that we want to provide. The challenge is that too many salespeople will prematurely jump to a conclusion and pushing a solution. And I said that prematurely because we haven't asked the right questions.
Paul, let's get some of those questions out here. Let's develop a couple of these. Let's do something. Let's don't talk about the process. Let's talk about a specific question. And let me see if I can get you started on one.
Sure.
Mr. Jones, tell me about your customers. What's wrong with that?
That's a fine question.
Tell me about a profile. What's an example of a customer that you serve? You don't have to tell me who they are. Tell me about the kind of people that you serve.
We serve a lot of industries in business to business. And, for example, we have recently been working with a medical device company that was calling on a lot of doctors. And doctors, for the most part, like a lot of customers, won't give you a lot of time.
Right.
And that's why it becomes really critical that you ask good, thought-provoking questions. What we found, though, is a lot of salespeople going in and asking, you know, how was your weekend? Do you have any problems? Do you have any needs? You know, they weren't getting very far. What they were doing then is ask, you know, describe for me a typical patient that may need to use this kind of product. You know, or what do you see are some of the challenges here? How does that compare to some of the advantages that you would be looking for? Or trying to uncover the decision-making process. A lot of salespeople are going in, talking to a customer, asking, are you the decision-maker? And a better way to ask is just describe for me this decision-making process. Or a poor question that a lot of salespeople going in would be asking, is price important to you? Bad question.
That's right.
A better way of asking is describe for me how important price is and then comparing that to another criteria.
Right.
Okay?
I'm going to have to wrap it up. Give us your website again, please, one more time.
That is PB Results, P as in performance, B as in based, results.com.
Paul, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Paul Cherry, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, right back with Keith Ferrazzi. We're going to talk about networking right after these messages. Stay with us.
My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.